101. When you're lost and lonely in the dark, take a tip from Shelley, Bruce, and Mark. Tune in, tune up. Recovery 101. You'll find the booze in use. We'll help you lose the blues.
We don't throw rules at you.
Well, except Rule 62.
When you get that urge and feel that need, don't go drinking shots or smoking weed. Tune in, tune up. Insanity can be fun at Recovery 101.
Thank you to the Philharmonic for their fabulous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANEOACAGAPASLAASLAACRRRMMDRAHAPA or any of them there, guys.
Either time.
No, okay. Not at all. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelley
and Mark.
Can't get you guys anymore on that. I throw in my last initial. You guys don't. I don't throw it in. You guys do. I don't think I've ever gotten you once.
Yeah. This is really deep thinking.
It's as deep as I get, which is the unfortunate thing for the listeners. Hey, Shell, how was your day today?
I don't know. I didn't really have a day. I had a snooze.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yes, there is. I didn't get anything done.
The whole house is clean. We went and visited a friend in hospice. We had dinner, and now we're recording a show. How could you say we got nothing done?
You paid someone.
To clean the house? So?
She did the floors in the bathroom. I cleaned the kitchen, but that's all I've done. And two loads of laundry.
And visit a friend in the hospital and recording a radio show. And at dinner. How is that doing nothing?
Yeah, you know what? I'm not sure that dinner's sitting very well with me.
I think
Del Taco was maybe a bad idea.
I gotta tell you, dinner...
But it was only $7.
$8. But dinner in the case of Del Taco... I was just saying, not the greatest thing. Filled me up. They have a thing called the bacon quesadilla. Yeah, not so much. And I love me some bacon. I'm not even 100% sure it's all bacon in there. It looked like there were little pieces of ham. It was weird.
Mm. Fascinating.
What'd you do today? Or lately?
Oh, lately? I had a full day yesterday, so I did a whole lot of nothing today. And
it's okay, though, right?
It is. Isn't that sad you have to schedule time to do nothing?
Nice.
Yeah, it's like...
I didn't schedule it. It just happened to me.
Yeah, I scheduled mine.
Yeah, she... I woke up for the first time in a long time and looked over. There she was.
Well, okay. So the previous three nights, though, I'm not sleeping much at all, like 4 hours. So my body just kind of said today was the day. Besides, you are going to sleep. In fact, right now, I could go back to bed.
It's checkout time, huh?
I might actually just leave you guys to your own devices.
We visited our friend today. Friends in hospice. Good friend Dave. And we go to see him in hospice. He's always been out like a light, heavily medicated. I go in. He's laying down. Guy comes in to prop him up in bed or whatever. He goes, hey, Dave, how you doing? He goes, oh, I'm doing good. Shelly and I look at each other. And he goes, oh, Shelly, Bruce, I'll be damned. And we're like, he's talking. He's sitting up. He's feeding himself. He's eating. He's telling us to tell everyone he said hi. I'm like, what the heck?
I don't think he's dying. I think he's faking it.
Yeah, I mean, if you saw him today, you wouldn't have said he was dying at all, because my dad has been in hospice and was not like that ever in hospice. By the time they got him to hospice, he was not doing well, and, you know. So I don't know. I can't tell. You know what that means.
Oh, God.
What?
Oh, it's time for the busy news. And the news not fit for booze.
Okay, we have shout outs
to a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Oh, we should first shout out to your sponsee, Kylie.
Yes. She took a 1-year coin yesterday. Woo!
Happy birthday,
Happy
Kylie.
Happy birthday, Kylie. Okay. We have shout-outs to Brian, Bill, Phil K, Dan, Dakota, Natalie, Joey Stryker, James Alexandria, Randy, Georgette, Carol, Cassandra, John, Jeff, and Damon.
And by the way, her 1-year birthday party, her father, who is a... Does he still work for the fire department?
No, he was injured.
He worked for the fire department for many years. He owns a barbecue catering service.
Flying Pig Barbecue?
Yep.
So I got to tell you,
really good stuff.
I got to tell you that the barbecue we had at the party, pretty effing good.
I was unable to attend.
Yeah, good stuff. Really good stuff. Really nice place, too. Not too far from where you used to live.
San Antonio.
Texas.
Yes. Wendy Cummings was on jury duty. She was coming back from lunch. And then got arrested.
Was she drunk?
No, she's the mother of two toddlers. And she carries a device in her purse that looks like sort of like a modified brass knuckles. She forgot it was in her purse. And when she went through security.
She's going into court.
She's going
weapon.
Into court. And, you know, all the thingies go wee, 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 wee. They go
wee,
off.
Wee, wee, all the way home?
Yeah, you know, yeah, the siren thingies or whatever on the metal detectors. She forgot it was in her purse. And she tried to apologize a million times. I'm sorry, I didn't know what they were in there. Just throw them away. I can get other ones. Don't worry about it. Blah blah blah. But no, they shackled her and threw her into a cop car.
Ooh.
She was taken into a cop car at court. Yeah, and they called the police and had her arrested. They told her it was a third degree felony. To try to take a weapon into a courthouse. She didn't realize it was in her purse. They set her bond at $1,000, and she was transferred to a holding cell, and her husband had to come and get her out. And she said, it was very scary. I just kept thinking, what am I going to tell my husband? Her husband, who was in the military, was contacted. I guess he was the one who not taught her to use them, but instructed her to keep them with her,
right,
for protection, because he has been posted overseas at times, so he's not always around.
Right.
Did he have to go on leave to bail her out?
No. She said that she doesn't understand why she was treated like a common criminal. I'm like, because you broke the law. Because
you acted like a common criminal.
Yeah. So, let's see.
I've had cigar cutters taken away from me. I've had cigar torches taken away from me. I've decided after that to never take any cigar-related items with me.
That's what your checked baggage is for.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't do that at court, unfortunately.
Okay, now this is the dumb verdict or dumb execution stay of the week. If we have one every week, I don't know. This happened in Huntsville, Texas. Clifton Lamar Williams was was set to die because he was convicted of killing a 93-year-old woman in her home during a robbery. They were stealing stuff to buy drugs, they beat her, then stabbed her, then set her on fire.
Oh.
So he had been sentenced to death. Now his execution has been stayed indefinitely while the courts wrangle with what they're calling an interesting technicality.
Oh, shit.
In 2006, in his trial, I don't know if it was last trial or the evidence was taken
what
in 2006.
This
is in Texas. Jurors were told, because they had DNA evidence at the scene, jurors were told that the probability that this DNA could belong to anyone else other than the defendant was probably 1 in 43 sextillion. But it was actually...
Oh, so there was a chance.
But it was actually 1 in 40 sextillion.
So there was a better chance.
Yeah.
That's
the technicality.
Right. So there's a better chance that it belongs to someone else than they thought before.
Oh, no, sorry, it was reversed. They were told it was 40, but it was actually 43 sextillion. Sextillion. So chance that it could be somebody else.
So it's still a chance.
So that's what his lawyers are arguing, that the jury was misled because of inaccurate evidence.
You know what I say?
Oh.
You know what I say? Put him in jail in regular population. Let it be known in jail that he set a 93-year-old woman on fire.
And then just walk away.
And then
walk
just
away.
Have at it.
And just leave a mop close by.
I'm pretty sure someone will take care of that.
Yeah. You think?
If possible, put him in the same prison of the guy that had a grandmother that was killed by some dude that set her on fire.
Let's see. In Fort Lauderdale.
Florida!
Thank you.
Florida.
Another weird incident in Florida. They have an organization called, you know, it's a turtle rescue that goes out, and when the turtle are spawning, when they're laying their eggs, these people go out and stake around, put stakes and caution
right,
tape and stuff around
the nest
so that people won't disturb the nest. And then when the eggs are due to hatch, they come back and stand in the water line with flashlights to attract the babies, because otherwise the lights from the businesses behind them on the beach attract them away from the water. Because the baby turtles go toward the light.
This story isn't actually about turtles, though, right?
No.
I was going to say, because I read something the other day on Facebook that happened to have turtles in the story, and that was also in Florida. But it wasn't about turtles.
Oh.
It was a side thing was about turtles.
Oh, well, at any rate, so they
has
have
anything
to
do with World War II?
No.
Oh, never mind. Okay.
So they have to flash lights from the shoreline to direct the turtles the right way so they go out to the ocean and not up toward the restaurants.
Okay.
So
you don't want the turtles going to the restaurants. They'll be like, special today, turtle soup.
Yeah. Michael McAuliffe, 38 years old, decided he didn't like them flashing their lights on the shoreline to attract the turtles. So he went out to the turtle rescue while they were trying to get the turtles into the water and decided to shoot the turtle rescuers.
What?
Yeah, he did.
Did he shoot any of them?
Yes, he did. He injured two of them.
Did they beat him to death?
No, he was arrested. He was jailed without bond.
What a dipshit.
One of the people that he shot was a 72-year-old volunteer, Stan Panaman, who was taken into the hospital with a gunshot wound to his hip. And he's still in the hospital. But I have to wonder, and they say that sometimes interesting incidents happen during turtle rescue because, you know, tempers run high. How do tempers run high around turtle rescue?
I don't know.
He also said that because they're on the beach and this happens in the middle of the night, they often come upon drugged or drunk residents of the city who hang out at the beach.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Are unclear on what they're doing.
We're trying to save the effing turtles. You know, you guys should all tune in next Boozy News, because I think there may be a story involving turtles again in Florida.
It's a turtley kind of night.
That has a strange reference to World War II.
There's no word on why he was so angry that these people were shining lights at the turtles, but
because it was getting lights in his eyes.
So when he shot, did everybody scatter and run?
It doesn't say that.
So I'm betting most turtles made it to the water just fine without them.
It doesn't say that.
Tensions are high because the stakes are so low.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, restaurateurs were happy because they opened their front door. There was a bunch of turtles.
Okay, we have the strange mystery of the week involving fast food restaurants. The world's largest sand dune desert, the Simpson Desert, where the Simpson Desert Conservation Park is. This is in Australia.
Bart?
That's what I was thinking.
Huh?
Homer?
No.
Boom!
This sand attracts thousands of tourists every year. There are like sand dunes that just go for miles, and they're hugely high, and it's supposed to be this grand, you know, adventure.
Wait, I want
to
check out the Foley skills. The sand dunes go what?
Boosh.
Boosh. Okay.
Yeah, they're supposed to traversing this desert is supposed to be a major, you know, survival type of tourist attraction for, like, you know, the He-Man macho guys who think that I'm going to get across this desert with no water, blah, blah, blah.
What is that? Because somebody says it's a He-Man tourist destination. Not for me.
Yeah.
You're going to put Bear Grylls out there.
Yeah. Well, strangely enough, last month, a couple of tourists were traveling through and wanted to know why there was suddenly a giant billboard in the middle of the desert that said, McDonald's, coming soon. And if you see the picture, it's actually a billboard. I mean, it's a real one. It's not like somebody stuck a sign, a hand-lettered sign. It looks like the company put a billboard up there. There's no road. There are no plumbing lines. It's out in the middle of the desert.
But you got to start with something.
McDonald's said they have no idea what anybody's talking about. They have no plans to put a restaurant there.
That's bullshit. Okay. You know what? McDonald's put the sign there. Probably cost them $10,000 to put it in there. And they carted it in the back and the outback, popped it in the ground, have gotten $11 million worth of McDonald's mentions in the news since then.
That's right. And they'll find out by how many calls they get whether they should put a McDonald's there or not.
Yeah.
Where else are you going to eat?
That's right.
Well, okay, McDonald's representative from the corporate was quoted as saying, I can assure you it's nothing to do with us. The font and the style used on the sign is not consistent with our current branding, and it serves us no purpose.
Yeah, that's okay. The food they used to – the beef there they used to serve was half kangaroo, which isn't consistent with the rest of their stuff either.
He also said, it's beyond us why anyone would take the time and effort to install a sign like this.
Because
the only ones that would
funny.
Would be McDonald's.
Because it's funny.
All right. Okay. And
actually, I just discovered Diet Pepsi mixed with Diet Coke. Pretty effing good.
There's a chemical reaction, though, coming up
anytime
now.
I'm about to die.
Okay. This is the hero of the week. Heroes of the week.
Wow. We haven't had, that. We haven't had that in a while.
Wow.
Yeah. Can you guys even find the kazoos?
Well,
Bruce.
There's a kazoo.
No,
well, that's not a kazoo.
There's a kazoo.
There's a kazoo. There's a kazoo.
We are waiting for kazoo.
Wow, we are buried deep.
Okay, heroes of the week.
Thought I blew all that out of there. Whoa.
Oh, that was interesting. Okay, this
our
happened.
Kazoos are looking a little worse for the wear, I noticed.
Yeah.
It worked, though.
Okay, this happened in Portland, Oregon.
Ooh, been there many times.
Felipe and Rafael Bitar.
Oh, I know them.
You do not.
Phil!
Are the heroes of the week. Now, prima facie, I'm going to say that what they did was heroic enough. They pulled a woman from her burning car and saved her life. She'd lost control of the vehicle and it crashed into a gas pump.
Ooh.
Well, another bystander switched off the pumps, so
good,
it didn't.
Good thinking.
Yeah.
That saved a lot of people.
But here's the thing. They're two teenagers, 18, 19 years old. They were videotaping this car burning.
Wait.
What?
Did we do this last time?
No. Yeah. I wrote about it on my Facebook page.
Oh,
you're probably
okay,
having a flashback
okay. I saw it
to
on
that.
Your face. Okay. Okay. I'm like, I've heard this before.
No, because this just happened like a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
When they came upon the burning car, they were like, oh, dude, cool. They start videotaping the car on fire. Why not? They
right.
got their cameras or their phones. They start shooting video. Felipe said, I think there's a woman in that car because he thought he saw somebody slumped over in the driver's seat. They try to get as close as they can. They see... Yes, there is a person in the car. There are a bunch of other adults standing around.
Film.
Everybody's videotaping this. Felipe and his brother, Rafael, are watching these adults like, is somebody going to call the authorities? Somebody going to do something? Nobody is doing anything. So they drop their phones, get a rock, break the window open, and pull her out of the car just before the flames engulf the front of the vehicle. My angst over this whole story is... They weren't even the first ones there.
Yeah, there was other people.
There were other people standing
around.
There were, yeah, there were other people that videotaped the whole thing from start to finish. And no one put their damn phones down to help this woman. except for a couple of teenagers. And thank God for teenagers, because the rest of us have gone completely nuts.
There ought to be a law, huh?
You know what? I might have been a teenager when this happened. I actually watched. It was like 2 in the morning. I'm sitting at a light that's called Hollenbeck and or Cerritos, depending where you are up by Arrow Highway. I'm sitting in the turn lane. This Toyota Land Cruiser is coming towards me on a green light. I'm waiting for him to go so I can turn. And this old, I don't know what it was, some kind of Plymouth or something, some big boat car, just comes flying through the red light and just plows this Jeep. Flips a few times, you know. I'm, like, amazed. There's nobody else anywhere. I get out. I run. I look at the guy in the Plymouth. I thought he was dead. He broke his windshield with his head. He wasn't moving. I can hear a guy yelling in the other thing, which has flipped a couple of times. I go down. I can't get in through the side because it's on its side. Mm-hmm. So it's a Toyota Land Cruiser, the old school ones that look like a Jeep. I go to open it up from the back where the wheel is. This guy's all hung up in his seatbelt. He goes, hey, I got a fishing tackle box here. Cut me out. And so I reach, I cut him out, and he's like, I smell gas. And I smell gas too, but he's asking about the other guy. We've walked back about, I'm probably 20 feet from where his car is now.
Bango.
The thing goes, whoa. It didn't explode, but did that, whoa, whoomp, and a big thing of orange knocked us both down. The guy's like, oh my God, I love you. I'm like, easy, easy. And the whole rest of the day after that, or night after that, I'm like, wow, yeah. I almost toasted myself. I could have.
If I could ever do anything for you, let me know.
10 seconds more.
It's okay, Mr. Gates. I'm sure there's nothing that you ever have that I'd want.
Mr. Hughes.
And finally, it's the end of an era. Well, almost the end of an era. It will be soon. Pubs in Britain are closing at a rate of 29 a week. Yes.
Oh, my God, dude. That deserves it.
There are 1,500 fewer pubs in the UK than there were this time last year. They claim that high rents and fierce competition from supermarkets have been blamed for many of the closures. This is how seriously the British take their pubs. They had 69,000 pubs 20 years ago. Now they only have 50,000. And they claim that that's a tragedy. It's not that big of an island.
You know, I was just thinking that. If you think about it, yeah, England, not very big.
They got 50,000 pubs, and they're worried because 29 a week are closing.
I mean, but see, in England, you can actually do a pub crawl. Because
well,
of the
thing, because I know in my head how big England is, which doesn't look very big. It's like you could easily fit England in L.A. County, right?
I don't think so.
L.A. County's pretty big. England's pretty thin.
Anyway.
Okay. L.A. and Inland Empire.
Sure.
Yeah, easy.
Yeah.
Now there's a campaign afoot to get the government to change the law so that local, what they call their local pubs, cannot be demolished without planning permission.
Do you think there's 50,000 pubs in Southern California?
No.
Do you think there's a lot of alcoholic activists in England?
Yes.
They take their pubs very seriously.
Apparently
I'm just
they
saying.
Do.
Yeah.
So... okay, and that, my excellent friends, is the end of the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
Recovery 101, clean and sober internet radio. Yeah.
We're back.
Did you ever turn your mic off?
No, he didn't.
No. I never turn my mic off.
Turn yours back on, though.
Because then if you turn it back on, it makes a big clicking, clocking beep noise.
I turned mine back on prior to us starting the show back up.
Okay, well, I'm always doing it wrong, so.
Yeah. We are back.
There you go.
We are. What's up, man?
Shelley?
What?
We have a topic.
Awesome. Go for it. I don't know. I don't know which one you guys were talking about.
The one that I had the other day that I told you I got to text it to myself.
Table for two?
Reservations for two.
Okay. Attack that bitch.
Wow. Shelly?
Shelly's all fired up.
Wait, Shelly is about
to pass out.
Wait, do you hear this? Shelly?
What?
What did Kylie's one-year birthday cake say on it?
Oh.
Specifically, they had this put on the cake.
It's your birthday every day because bitches love cake.
And it's funny because they're reading that. Her grandmother and grandfather are sitting right there. And her grandmother and grandfather are more like the way our mom and dads would be, you know, older. Well,
yeah, because she's the same age as, she's younger than our kids.
Right, right.
So it's they like, are us.
It's like technically, no. These guys could be our parents,
yeah,
for sure. Yeah, these are more like our parents.
Yeah.
Yeah, not us. Yes. They're not like us.
That's what
they're
I
like
said.
They're like in their 80s.
Okay.
We're sitting there. I'm like her parents.
Uh-huh.
And, but I'm sitting there looking at grandma, looking over at this like, bitches love cake. Like, what the hell? The hell is my granddaughter doing? So, reservations. I can't for the life of me remember how this came up. And yet, I had an example of it today. A guy that we've all known off and on over the years, this young man, Eddie. Oh, Eddie has spent more time in jail than out of jail the last 2 or 3 years. Every time he gets out, he's full of remorse. I got to quit getting loaded. I got to stop doing this. He's going into Salvation Army tomorrow.
Yeah, but.
My guy James loans him a few bucks because he needs to get some cigarettes. He needs to get something to eat. He needs a way to get to Pasadena in the morning to go to Salvation Army. And James goes, understand, I know you're going to go get loaded with some of this money. He goes, well, you know, I might have a beer. And I'm thinking, he's not going into Salvation Army tomorrow. Because he's going to get a beer, and then he's going to step right back into where he was before. He's
you know done what? It. That beer is going to make him feel like a new man. You know what that new man wants?
More beer.
Or
meth or whatever it happens to be. He does it every single time. It's like clockwork.
Yeah.
And doesn't it amaze you around program how you will tell people over and over the exact same things till you're blue in the face. If you drink that, you're going to go right back to the way you were like almost instantly. Oh, no. Or if you get in that relationship, it's going to fail horribly. Oh, no. It's like nobody seems to listen. But
It's like the Oracle at Delphi. It just kept telling them all the horrible things that were going to happen, and nobody ever believed them, and then they happened. And then they were always surprised.
It's like program Nostradamus.
Yeah.
But you've had people with reservations.
Yeah, she's currently out there drinking like a gentlewoman. Or so she says.
And others besides that as well, right?
Yes. I don't know what happened to them.
Mark?
Yeah.
Clearly, over the years, people with reservations.
Bruce, you see it all the time.
They got reservations all over town?
Yeah. That's, you know. But the problem is their reservations. When they come in the 12-step programs, I should have saved this for my last words, we don't give them the VIP table when they come in.
No. Nor do they deserve it.
They deserve the table next to the kitchen.
They deserve the same treatment every other sad alcoholic comes in, which is the hope that if you grab onto this life preserver, you might not drown. And nowadays the
Bruce,
idea
that's
is
not
well,
how
if
it
I
works.
Get sober, everything should be peaches and cream
that's
right
not,
away.
That's not how this program works anymore. It's not.
Okay, how does it work?
You or come in work. Because like things are a little crappy and you make some friends and things get a little better and
oh, you mean now.
That's not how the program works anymore.
Yeah. That's what I mean. People have the idea that if they get sober now, all is going to be peaches and cream and they're going to be just like Robert Downey Jr. and their next movie is going to be a gigantic blockbuster. And when things don't quite pan out that way, they're like, "Eh, what the hell?" It's not like the people are coming in, they're dying. And we've talked about that a lot of times on the show.
Yeah.
People have come in literally going under for the last time, and they just happen to get their hand up and grab a hold of that life preserver so they don't suck in a bunch of water for their last breath.
Yeah.
What do you do, Shelley, when you're talking to people and they have reservations? I mean, we know that you try and tell people stuff. They just don't seem to get it. How do we drive that into people so they get it? Or is it even possible?
It's not possible. My job is to take them through the steps. If they want to do the steps, great. I can't change their minds. I'm not like, you know, I'm not a brain surgeon.
Have you tried waterboarding?
No, actually, I haven't. Maybe that's the next step.
Or it's the next thing they get addicted to.
Yeah.
How about you, Mark? Is there a way to drive this into somebody? Is everybody lost? I mean, there's got to be something.
Bruce, we hold meetings in classrooms in little corners of buildings. Because if those who needed it,
yes,
showed up in the rooms,
yes,
we'd be having it at the Coliseum.
Now.
And there'd be a line waiting to get in. But that's why we have 12, 14, 15 people in meetings. I mean, it's people show up and they, you know, keep a handful of seats open. They walk in the door, they hang out for a bit, and they split. And I don't see anything changing it until they start to die off again.
Well, and you know what's weird? I think along with what you were saying just there, it's kind of weird for certain programs. I'll give you an example, CA. When I first was going to CA, the meetings were packed. Of course, there was far less meetings,
yeah,
which means
one.
Anybody that wanted to get sober had to go to like one of these 10 meetings because
that's
all there were.
Yeah.
You know, now there's CA clubs and there's meetings, you know, every night. And,
yeah.
But it was kind of the opposite with AA with me. When I was first going to the 502 Club, the meetings didn't seem, at least some of the meetings didn't seem as big as they do now.
Mm-hmm.
The morning meeting they used to have in a room called the Al-Anon Room, which would probably seat about 40 people if it were packed. Now they have it in the big room that seats 150 people, and it's still packed.
Mm-hmm.
So there's kind of a weird
but you're down a club
turnaround there. How about you, Shelley? What do you think about that?
I don't know. I wasn't listening. Hey, at least I'm honest.
Perfect.
You get all over Mark if he goes, I don't care about that. Mark does it clearly. He doesn't care. That's no good. And then
we're
doing the show. Shelley, what do you think about that? I don't know. I wasn't listening.
Honestly, I mean, I've got like five brain cells firing right now. So
I don't care.
A lot.
I don't care, but at least I hear it.
Do you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
She's got five brain cells firing. She got like three better firing than I have. On any given day, the five for me is spectacular.
I'm having a hard time operating my mouth and my brain at the same time. That makes for, you know, potential catastrophe.
I'm like a light bulb. I will burn brightly for one day before I burn out forever. If I ever get truly fantastic in a day, you'll know that
that's
the last day.
Actually,
Sundowner syndrome?
What I was thinking while you guys were going blah, blah, blah.
How?
Well, that's what I hear. That's not necessarily what you were doing. I'm sure it was scintillating pearls of wisdom. But what I heard was the Charlie Brown wah, 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 wah. Because what I was thinking about, you know, we're talking about what we see in the program and what we see in clubs and things like that. But I'm thinking about my experience because I can only speak from my experience.
Mm-hmm.
My experience was that when I very first went to that very first candlelight meeting on that Sunday night where I met our wonderful friend Rufus, and I went with our friend Dave because I needed a witness. I had all kinds of reservations. I specifically went into it thinking, I'm going to do this for a while and get everybody off my back and then go back to doing exactly what I want to do. And I went into it thinking that. I stayed sober for 6 months, had my spectacular relapse.
Your airline bottle relapse?
Yes, and realized at that point that since I couldn't drink and I couldn't not drink, that I couldn't have any reservations, that I had to take it on faith and I had to do everything that was suggested to me because reservations were going to kill me.
So that's what you could tell to your people for reservations.
That's what I guess I do tell them. I mean, when I'm relating my story, but...
Because I was kind of getting the impression from both of you guys, it's like, hey, you can't do anything about it. And I'm like,
you
can't. You got to do something. You got to try something.
All you can do is relate your experience, strength, and hope. Well, you can't change their minds.
Well, true. For example, we would tell a million people, you can't be in a relationship in your first year.
Why?
And the majority... Because it never works. And the majority of them will get in a relationship, will crash horribly, one or the other will go out and drink or both, and they'll come back later and go, oh my God, I should have never done that. However, I got to think that every time you tell people or you hear it in a meeting, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, there's got to be a few people in the meeting. If you got 80% of the people that don't get it at all, there's that 20% that sit there and go, gee, you know, that old timer said I shouldn't do that. I probably shouldn't do that. Even if 80% of them are crashing and burning because they're not following what people are saying, there's got to be 20%. Or even if you take the program statistic that says only 5% make it, those 5% are the ones that are listening. They're hanging on the every word that old timers say, like we have something to tell them.
We do? I'm not an old timer.
To a lot of women, you are. I mean, there's a lot of guys that would look at someone with 8 years and go, my God, you're a guru. And since there's less women in the program than men, there's less women that stay sober longer than men. And it's not because women aren't as good at staying sober. It's there's not as many of them to start with.
It's harder for them.
I mean, you start getting women up around a decade and the gene pool gets shallow quick.
Yes, I'm actually finding that when I'm regularly at a meeting where I'm the only woman in the room with more than a year, is a little bit scary because it used to be that I would be sitting in the meeting and I could point to five other women with more than a year.
And where are they?
Well, I know where one of them is. She's at home because she's tired and doesn't want to go out.
Okay.
Who's that?
Two of them. Rhonda.
Oh.
Or she goes to other meetings. I mean, she's got
Rhonda has some time.
Yeah. And she goes to other meetings now. But when I first came in, she went to the Thursday all the time. When I first got there, she was the chip person at the Thursday meeting.
I remember when she used to go to that religiously, and my friend Terry wouldn't have any problem with us saying this because he says it all the time. When he had his troubles and was stuck in motels out places smoking crack, she was coming to that meeting religiously.
Yeah.
And she was calling me at all times of the night going, he's in a motel. What should I do? I said, you should go to an Al-Anon meeting and forget about what he's doing right now because you're going to drive yourself nuts.
And she did.
Yes, she did.
She took your advice.
Mm-hmm.
And things
and
got
they're back together.
And things got absolutely fabulous for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, the women and like a couple of them moved away. Another one got another obsession. Sort of ran off into the...
Ran off with the obsession of running?
Yes.
Yes.
So, I mean, there aren't any others, so I don't know. And then when I get a whole bunch of new women in one room and then they want to talk to me and they... Most of the time you can see them kind of edging away from me, like if they talk to me, then suddenly they're going to be obligated to do something.
For a quick second, I thought you said when you get a bunch of nude women around you.
New.
I figured that's out what it was, but it sounded like nude for a second.
As if somehow that, you know, contact with me is going to contaminate their drinking, which I kind of get.
It will.
I know. I kind of get that because one of the main reasons why I didn't even want to date Bruce was because I was worried that if I ever wanted to drink again, he would wreck it for me. And he did.
Yeah.
Well, I had reservations tons of times. I am not... There was a bunch of times when I got sober where I said, man, I really need to stop. And for whatever reason, it was just not 100% fully committed to it. I thought I was, but clearly I wasn't because I'd go out and get loaded. And people ask me all the time, what was different this last time? And I'm honest, I tell them, I go, you know what? I don't know. Many times when I quit, I needed to quit. I was dying. You know, I'm trying to grab onto the life preserver. I grab onto the life preserver. I get my head above water. I get a few really good deep breaths of air.
Lost your grip.
And I feel much better.
Lost your grip.
And then I go diving for pearls again, you know. Too deep, and I don't almost don't make it to the top again.
Yeah. I'm just going to float for a few minutes.
Yeah, and that's the way, exactly. And that's the way it was for me. It's like I was saying about this guy, Eddie. Eddie has spent more time in jail than out of jail in the last couple of years, all behind drugs and alcohol, all of it behind drugs and alcohol. He got sober for a while, stayed sober about 6 months, went almost immediately got a place to live, almost immediately got a job. Like, it's one of those, I couldn't almost believe how quickly things turned around for him. And then the first paycheck he got, he went back, got loaded. Within days, he had been kicked out of the place he lived. He lost his vehicle, he lost his job, and he was right back where he was, you know, 4 weeks previous.
Not understanding what happened.
Yeah, I don't get it. And it's everyone else's fault.
Yeah.
You know.
Sure.
They kicked me out of the house. Were you loaded? Well, yeah, but they kicked me. Dude, it's a sober living house. Of course they kicked you out, idiot. Well, and I lost the car. How did you lose the car? Well, I had possession, and they took the car. And they impounded the car, and I don't have a way to get back out because I also lost my job because I didn't go into work. Well, that's brilliant. So in other words, all this stuff you built up, which you got back in miraculous fashion, you just blew it all off. And he goes, yeah, I did. I go, you're a fucking alcoholic. That's why. You know, and he's like, oh, I just have a problem with meth. No, you have a problem with everything. You have a problem with life. Look in the mirror. There's your problem. So, what do you do about it, Shelly? What do you do for those people? If you can't tell them and make them believe it, what do you do?
Wave bye-bye.
You what?
Wave bye-bye.
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 You must be so proud. Shelly's going to wave bye-bye to the newcomers.
No. I'm not being harsh or anything. It's just that I can't stop anybody from doing what they're going to do. If you've got reservations, get her done. Go do it.
Notice, I'm not being harsh. It's not like she says, bye. She does the bye-bye.
I can't bye-bye. Save them.
No, you can't.
It's like trying to, you know, rescue somebody who's drowning and they just keep kicking you and pushing you down. At some point, you just got to let them go.
I'm not going to share my life preserver.
You're not going to share your life preserver? Oh, I'll share my life preserver if you want to hang on to it with me and work with me.
Yeah, but then they start kicking and screaming and they might knock you off.
Talking to a former lifeguard here.
Then they need to get off my life preserver.
Almost everybody I ever saved that was drowning was trying to take me with them. That's what people do when they're drowning. They grab anything. They push you under. Matter of fact, there's a lot of nerve centers you can push on people if you can get them in the right position that will make them go limp. And that's the thing they teach you in being a lifeguard, because one thing you learn real quick, if they get a hold of you and they pull you under, you're both going to die. And I kind of look at it that way with program. You know, if someone gets ahead of you or gets a hold of you and drags you down to where their level is, you might not come up either. That's why they always tell new people, don't try and go save your old friends, because they're going to drag you down with them. What would your final words on the subject be? Reservations for two.
I don't know. Go to Mark.
Mark? What are your final words on reservations for two?
If you want what we have and are willing to go to any lengths to get it, no reservations required.
There you go. Shelly? That didn't give you a lot of time, did it?
No, and I still don't. You know, if what keeps going through my head actually is a line from the oath of office that I had to take when I was sworn into work for the city, where it says that you will protect and defend the city without reservation or purpose of evasion.
They made you say that to get a job at the library?
Yes.
So you'll protect your sobriety by what?
Without reservation or purpose of evasion.
There you go.
So if you're willing to do that, I'm willing to help you.
That would be a great thing for program. Protect your sobriety. Oh, that's good. I would say that if you do have reservations, you're liable to keep those reservations and you're going to go back out. So the best thing to do is to have no reservations. And you don't need a reservation at a meeting because I'll save you a seat. Mark.
Party of one. We have your table waiting.
Yeah. Mark, we've got friends.
We have friends?
And in the Inland Empire.
We have friends?
We have acquaintances.
We got a publication we know about.
We have a publication we talk about.
That'd be the 12 Step Gazette. You can go to 12stepgazette.com and read their blog style publication. Or you can go to 12stepgazette.com/IE and read the Southern California version of the 12 Step Gazette.
It's kind of sad, actually. I was just thinking about this the other day. When Bruce was running the 12 Step Gazette, I would have said Bruce was my friend. I talked to him, he would call me numerous times. I mean, we've talked on the phone a bunch of times. He was going to come out here and stay with us, but we happened to be in another place when he and his wife came out. And I haven't gotten a call from anybody there, not even a request for a phone number from anyone that's there now. I'm kind of bummed.
I don't even think they're running our ad.
Well, they wouldn't be able to run an ad if they're not publishing a thing.
They have ads on the Zine thing, on their online thing for other things.
Oh, they do?
For other talk shows.
They've
and other,
mentioned us in articles.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, in deference to Bruce, I would still run a thing for them. But the other gal puts our ads in, the gal from the Inland Empire. She does. So, yay, her. I can't remember her name, and I feel bad now. So, Shelley, we have people online that and all over that listen to the show.
Awesome. Any way that you listen to the show, we really appreciate it. But if you could go to our website, recovery101.net, click on one of the shows, click like or permalink. If you are a member of Podomatic, you've just been counted. Thank you. That helps us with our demographics. If you are not a member, you will have the opportunity to become a member. It is free.
And fun.
And you can like old shows. You can listen to old shows. You can leave topic suggestions and comments. You can follow so that you'll get automatic updates of when we post the shows. And you can put us on your playlists for all your rock and party needs.
Somebody said that in a comment the other day. They said, I came here to like and comment and add you to my Rock and Recovery 101 playlist.
Yep.
Awesome. If you are Facebook friendly, you can like the Recovery 101 radio show fan page. You can also join the Recovery 101 secret group.
Shit.
And if you want to join that secret group, you can send a message to us at the Recovery 101 radio show fan page, or you can message Shelley Burnett or Bill Piper. By the way, if you're looking for Bill Piper, it'll probably say something about Fresno in that around his name, so that would help you find him.
Fresno.
Yeah. If you want to send us an email, you want to send it to recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can send topics. You can send questions. You can send comments. You can send, if you want to know about advertising on this show that's had over 9 million downloads. Or if you want to come out and see us sometime, let us know. Oh, and a Recovery 101 jingle, like Phil and the Harmonics did tonight.
I might make mention of, because somebody asked me about this, we talk about the secret group on Facebook openly on the show, so it's not exactly a secret group.
Of course it is.
For us, the point is that you can download and listen to the show without any of your friends knowing. If you want to interact with other people who listen to the show and you still don't want anybody to know, that's the purpose of the secret group. It's not secret like nobody knows. It's secret like...
So that your friends don't
so
know.
So that your friends on Facebook don't know.
If you are incognito with your recovery online, and you don't want your boss or anyone else to see it, that would be the group to join.
Right.
Me, I don't care because I'm my own boss. So. Oh, we also have videos at youtube.com/easylook or youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
We sure as hell don't. Shelley, who's the lead out music by?
Billy the Kid and the Lucky Poets.
Billy the Kid and the Lucky Poets. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
There comes a point in everybody's life when you're not as young as you used to be, and you'll wake one day and you just won't feel the same, and you won't know why, but your world has changed. Colors don't shine like they used to. Stars don't shine like they used to. I don't wanna get, I don't wanna get old, I don't wanna get old, I wanna stay young forever, forever. I don't wanna get, I don't wanna get old, I don't wanna get old, I wanna stay young forever, forever. There comes a point in everybody's life. When you're not as young as you used to be, and you'll wake one day and you just won't feel the same, and you won't know why, but the world has changed. I don't wanna get, I don't wanna get on.